It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Julie Herman, hired as the school's new athletic director May 15th, once quit as Tennessee's women's volleyball coach after players complained she ruled through humiliation, fear, and emotional abuse. According to the New York Star-Ledger, a letter submitted by all 15 members of her 1996 team said that Herman called them, quote, whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled.
We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking sports once again. Wednesday, baby. Wednesday here with Tony Sands. We're going to bring on my co-host later in, at about 8:07 in the show. My main man, Bibbs, who's going to ride with me. My main man, the one and only Mr. Bibbs, going to ride with me on this show. But I'm going to tell you, you heard my intro. You heard us pipe that intro in. You heard us bring in the soundbite of Julie Herman. Here we are again. Here we are again with another incident to where we're finding people of authority abusing that authority, abusing it. Julie Herman, in her quest to become the AD at Rutgers, has had a troubled past per players. Per her players, has had a troubled past of abuse, mentally, not physically, but more mentally, more mental. In her, you know, when she was with Tennessee, her women volleyball, there is a lawsuit that is focused around Julie Herman. There is a lawsuit surrounding Julie Herman, but we're going to get into that a little later. We're going to bring that sound back again, so those that chime in on our show later going to get a chance to hear that sound bite number 10. We're going to play that sound bite again right going in our first commercial at 8:05. But we're going to also talk Tim Duncan gets a divorce. Jamarcus Russell, once touted as one of the top quarterbacks in the 2007 draft, is getting drawn attention from several NFL teams. Aaron Foster out until training camp. How does that affect his team? How does his injury affect the Houston Texans? Are the Houston Texans erring more on the side of caution than anything to say, okay, hey, we know what Aaron Foster can do. We're going to put him on the back burner. And then we're going to look at Everett Ghost. Everett Ghost is suspended from Notre Dame. The same Everett Ghost that led his team to a national championship against Alabama is now suspended due to poor academic judgment. Due to poor academic judgment. We're going to find out how does that affect what Notre Dame will do in the 2013 season. We're going to find out that here on the Tony Sands Show, because our show is the number one talk radio internet show in the country when it comes to sports, because we're bringing you the latest topics around the sports world. Around the sports world, the latest topic. But as I told you, Jamarcus Russell is drawing attention. He's dropped some weight, dropped 50 pounds. You got to understand, Jamarcus Russell was a guy that was, when you look at it, this guy was almost close to 300 pounds. Big, big fella, 300 pounds. And now he's dropped weight and he understands what it takes now to become an NFL quarterback and what he needs to do to stay an NFL quarterback in this day and age of the NFL. So you're going to stay tuned. We're going to play the soundtrack before we leave. For those that are listening, we got to play the soundtrack. We're going to play it throughout the show several times going in and out of commercial breaks, because I want you to hear this, because we're going to get deep into it with me and my main man, Bibbs. We're going to play the soundbite. We're going to the commercial, but stay tuned as we talk Julie Herman under fire at Rutgers.
Chris, go. Julie Herman, hired as the school's new athletic director May 15th, once quit as Tennessee's women's volleyball coach after players complained she ruled through humiliation, fear, and emotional abuse. According to the New York Star-Ledger, a letter submitted by all 15 members of her 1996 team said that Herman called them, quote, whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. If you want to call in and chime in on a lot of the topics that we have here for you today, you can call the Tony Sands Show at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. and Canada. You also can hear us on Skype at BBS Radio 2. That's BBS Radio 2. Or you can call me to talk to me, 530-763-1594 here on the Tony Sands Show. As I told you before, we headed to commercial break. You heard a little bit of the Julie Herman Show. You heard Julie Herman and you heard some of the things that players are saying, some of the things that she's going through now that she is the AD at Rutgers. But we're going to get into that later on in the show. Let's get back on Jamarcus Russell. Here he is. Jamarcus Russell has, you know, he's leaned down now to 265 pounds. And this is, you know, that's the same weight that he came out in the 2007 NFL Scouting Combine that caught the eye of the late Al Davis. They caught the attention of the late Al Davis, Jamarcus Russell, in his frame. He's shedded that that left tackle, opposite tackle look. Now, teams are taking a serious look at him to possibly join one of their rosters. There are several teams that are paying attention to him. And he's acquired, you know, agent, high power agent Eugene Parker. You know, Eugene Parker's in the same lines of that was Deion Primetime Sanders agent. Deion's agent and Jamarcus Russell know he need to go get a high powered agent like Jamarcus Russell in order to make this mend in. And he know if he don't get on an NFL team, there's the CFL that he can go to and run wild, and it makes sense to get more football under your belt. It makes sense to get this under your belt so that way teams can still see that you want to play football. All right, let's and then now another topic that's grabbing gospel ear is the comments that Mike Wallace made. I don't think they're so people making a big deal out of some of the things he said. You know, he compared Ryan Tannehill to Ben Roethlisberger, as he said. You know, Ryan Tannehill can be as good as Ben Roethlisberger. And when you look at this, you're saying, okay, he's comparing a second year quarterback to a Super Bowl champion such as Big Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't think that's taking shots at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that is giving confidence to the Miami Dolphins. That is giving confidence to the Miami Dolphins. And Mike Wallace came back because he's been with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's a family. You make that family bond. He's been with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a while, and he went back and came back on Twitter and made sure on Monday that he tweeted, "I want it, you know, to be known that I'm not disrespecting everybody on the Steelers." He stated that he's not disrespecting the Steelers. He wants people to know that the players are my brothers for life beyond football. So to call people who think that I took a shot at them is totally misleading. That's a misleading. He wants you to know that is misleading. But I'm going to tell you now, my main man has joined the show. You know, he's a busy guy out there in Texas finding out information. He is the source that's on the ground in Texas. My main man, Bibbs, has joined the show here on the Tony Sands Show. What's going on, B, man? What's happening?
Oh, man, not too much. How you doing, Tony?
Man, it's been a grind. You know, you got to stay on top of these hot sports topics. I'm going to tell you, one of the topics that we talked about in the intro that we played is this Julian Hermann topic. We played an intro, a soundbite. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask the engineer to play that soundbite now that we got you with us. And that way, you know, we can start letting our mouth water on this topic as we get later on in this topic in the second 30 minutes of this hour show. Let's play that topic. Let's play that we opened the show with, because I want you to get a flavor for this, of what this lady was taking some of her players through.
Julie Hermann, hired as the school's new athletic director May 15th, once quit as Tennessee's women's volleyball coach after players complained she ruled through humiliation, fear, and emotional abuse. According to the Newark Star-Ledger, a letter submitted by all 15 members of her 1996 team said that Hermann called them, quote, whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled.
Wow, those were some words, wasn't it? Bibbs, those were some straight to the point words that a coach used about her players.
And this is the same lady that Rutgers just hired as their new athletic director.
it's just continue. Rutgers continues to keep piling it on.
It's mind-boggling. I'm like, I know they have to go through a certain criteria, certain, you know, qualifications to, you know, to obtain the position. You know, I would think any committee that was trying to hire her would have that as a red flag, you know. But I guess not, right?
But I'm going to tell you now, Bibbs, now they spent a lot of money on her background check, but we're going to talk about that later on about 8:30 here on the Tony Sands Show. That is my main man, Mr. Bibbs, joining the Tony Sands Show as we break down sports topics that are interest to you, my fans, that are listening here to the Tony Sands Show. But Bibbs, let's get into it. Now, you know, Jamarcus Russell is back in the news. He's making some headways that several of the NFL teams are, you know, being attracted that he's toned down about 50 pounds. He's at now 265 pounds.
Right, right.
I mean, he's making some inches. Do you think Jamarcus Russell in the 2013 season signed with an NFL team?
I don't know. That's a tough one, Tony. It really depends on destination. You know, what team can have like a roster spot open where they can try to fit him in at. I personally, right now, I don't know. I don't think he would get opportunity. Maybe practice squad if possible, but I don't even know if that's possible for him. You know, I don't think so, Tony. But maybe next year, though. I mean, he might get an opportunity to get in somebody's count if he's seen that he's put in the work. You know, to drop down the weight. You know, he still has the arm he had when the last time we saw him. You know, he definitely could throw the ball. I know that about him, but. I don't think nobody's going to sign this year, Tony. I really don't think so.
Now, you know, now within the next really 30 to 45 days is that window period if a team would be real interested in signing Jamarcus Russell. And at that point, it's been noted by Ian Rappaport that, you know, possibly he would think to sign with the CFL. Do you think that's a positive move for a guy that's trying to make his way back to the NFL to sign with a CFL team?
Definitely. I really think any type of organized football for him would be a positive for Jamarcus Russell. And the CFL is a pretty competitive league. You know, it's not the NFL, but it's a different style of game. which I think he would have to learn and adjust to. But with the, like I said, the arm that he has, that he had come out of LSU, I think he can be pretty successful playing in the CFL. You know, he had an opportunity to sling it around the field, you know. Like I said, it's a different game, but if he can adjust to it, it'll definitely help him, you know, and then possibly give him an opportunity to come back to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think some guys are probably going to want to see, Bibbs, is that they want to see just – we see you done toned down and we see, you know, you slimmed down. Now you're not looking like an offensive tackle. You're looking like a possible quarterback in this day and age in the NFL. But now we want to see that translate over to the field. And I think if they don't sign him within these next 30 to 45 days, he go up to the CFL, sign him a one-year deal – go up there, play, have a great season, because I'm quite sure he'll make any team in the CFL. He go up there, spend some time slinging the ball around, running with his feet, making some plays happen. He would get more attention, I think, next year because his set fits more of the CFL, and it'll translate him back to the NFL. And I think that's what That's what he's going to need to do. But let's get into also Mike Wallace. And I talked about it right before you came on. I talked about Mike Wallace is grateful for the Steelers. Some people making some big ordeal about some of the comments that he made. You know, he compared Ryan Tannehill to Ben Roethlisberger, and people are saying how you compare a 2-year quarterback to a Super Bowl winning veteran. And I think he made that comparison in the standpoint of saying he sees the upside of Ryan Tannehill, not to downplay the athletic ability of Ben Roethlisberger. How do you see that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I see the same thing. He's comparing Tannehill to Roethlisberger. He's comparing Tannehill to a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So I don't really see how it would take it as if he was taking a shot at Roethlisberger's, you know, his skill or what he's accomplished in the game. You know, and just comparing it to another great. Like I said, Roethlisberger has won Super Bowls. I mean, obviously, we've seen that within the last 10 years, 2 Super Bowls in the last 10 years. So, you know, you can't say that he's not a good quarterback. So I see him, when he was comparing him, he's comparing him to the greatness of Ben Roethlisberger, not necessarily taking a shot at whatever player he is.
And that's how I took it. You know, I guess, you know, you're going to have people in the media that are going to always look for the fine words and the fine line critique guys like this. And you got to understand, this man just received a $60 million deal from the Miami Dolphins. So I'm quite sure he wants to lift up his spirits of his Miami Dolphins to let these young guys know, because it is a young team. It is a very young team. And as he said, they have the attitude of young, of a college. They have a college mentality. They're hungry. And a lot of that contributes to that they are a young team. So I'm quite sure him being a veteran, he's played with Big Ben and he understands what it takes to be a champion on a veteran team. Now he's that leader that the Miami Dolphins are looking for to take this team to that next level, to possibly make it into the playoffs and do what he got to do. But now, I'm going to tell you this. Now, Antonio Brown takes on that number one role. Does that puts a lot of pressure on Antonio Brown? It's a different thing when you're the number two guy. But when you become the number one guy, can you handle that?
I think Antonio, but I'm really not sure about him. He's gonna have to just show me this year. I haven't really got an opportunity to just sit down and watch him and critique him at the club, but I mean, from he puts up pretty decent numbers. He's a pretty athletic receiver, you know. As far as that number one role, I mean, only time will tell. We have to see him out there this year. And it's also going to have some other people step up for the Steelers offense for him to even be successful as that number one target.
And that's what's going to – I mean, it's going to play out to see, because, they do have a – you know, they don't have no big-name receivers at all.
Exactly.
They don't have no big – and that puts the pressure now on Ben as a quarterback. Can you get it done without – the big name receivers that you have had in the past? He's had a lot of big name receivers in the past. Now you starting all the way over. Can you get it done now as Big Ben of old? Because it's going to show now. Because I don't think Antonio Brown is ready for that number one role right at this point. It remind me of, you know, the teams that the Dallas Cowboys had when they had Michael Irvin on one side and Alvin Harper on another side. And at that point, Alvin Harper had, you know, went with the Dallas Cowboys and won some Super Bowls. And all of a sudden now, he wanted to become a number one guy. So he signs a big deal with Tampa, and you never hear about him again. You never hear about him again. Does this happen to Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown, are you ready to be that number one guy? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, as we move around a little bit in the NFL, let's look at Aaron Foster. You know, he's out into training camp.
Calf strain.
Yeah. He's out in the training camp. And that's something that can linger with you for a while. If you don't be careful, that can linger with you for a while. They're more leaning now on the side of caution than anything, or is this a serious thing that the Houston Texans are paying attention to?
Well, I definitely think it's serious when you're speaking about the, you know, that franchise player, the workhorse, to be exact. You know, a lot of their game, that's what the offensive game is based off of Aaron Foster and his running ability. So, you know, with him having a calf strain, they're definitely going to have to take that and be very cautious with it. And, you know, I don't expect to see him back until training camp. You know, he possibly won't even be back then, you know, just to take all the precautions that's needed, you know, in a situation like that with your work caught back.
And that's what, I mean, you know, Ben Tatum take pretty much the bulk of the reps, you know, throughout this up into training camp. But I'm telling you, this is going to be an interesting thing for the Houston Texans. This guy's got to be healthy in order for them to be able to win in Houston. I don't see them winning with Ben Tate. I see them winning more with Arian Foster if they're trying to take their team to that next level. I really do. But they got to make sure that this guy's healthy. I think you don't go into this game thinking that this guy's healthy, and I think that's why they're erring more on the side of caution. We'll sit him out. We don't really need him. We know what he can do. He's proved that over and over and over and over and over again. So I think that's going to be something that we'll see how it play out throughout OTAs and training camp. And I think they even, when training camp comes around, I think they even err more on the side of caution because they don't want that injury to come back. But now let's talk a little college football also. Let's talk a little college football. And the biggest news, I think, in college football now is Everett Golston at Notre Dame.
Wow, Everett, Tony.
How do that. You – but this is what I'm trying to figure out. How do you hear an institution like Notre Dame, a great institution such as Notre Dame, and you let your starting quarterback get in academic problems? I find that mind-boggling.
When this story stood out to me amongst all the stories that I've read this week, and when I first read it, I was just like, this got to be a joke. This got to be something that this got to be just lingering, a rumor or something. This kid can't be ineligible after coming off a national championship. I mean, they lost, but still, he was a freshman. He was, you know, he was one of the best players on the offense last year. I don't even think they would have made it as far as they made it without him playing quarterback. And you let this kid get academically ineligible? I don't understand it. I really don't get it, Tony. I don't know what happened. They haven't really released much information about what he did or what. It's just crazy to me that this would happen to him of all people and at an institution like Notre Dame.
And let me tell you something, you know, guys. I played college football. I played at a high level of that Division I. When you say college football, I played in the Big Eight. And I'm gonna tell you, we had GAs that checked our class, went to each one of our classes, met with our teachers, our professors to make sure that we were all on the same page. I'm trying to see how your starting quarterback, a guy pretty much if you were talking. Professional football, your franchise guy is able to slip through the cracks and as they use, was suspended for poor academic judgment. I'm trying to read through the lines of that word poor academic judgment. Because if I'm a person that's looking at that, some people may say, okay, what is considered poor academic judgment? Did he fail some tests? He did not get up and go to some class? Or did he use someone else's term paper? How do you charm in on that word poor academic judgment is the question. ESPN is bringing that out as they're saying from the information that they're gathering is poor academic judgment. And the young man is standing up and as he said, Golston said, he said, I take full responsibility for my poor choices. And I would do all that it takes to regain my trust of my family, my friends, my teammates, my coaches, and the entire Notre Dame community. So I give the kid props for understanding and standing up and taking full responsibility for that. But I also say, where it was that academic department, where were they? I guarantee you some heads are flying in that academic department. Some people are probably at this point in time is getting a pink slip. But folks, if you want to chime in on here with me and Mr. Bibbs, you can call us at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Call us here and talk sports. You got a topic you want to chime in on, some of the topics we have, you can call us here and chime in on those topics. But I'm going to tell you, Bibbs, I'm still wondering how this type of behavior happens at Notre Dame. What would be your thought when you hear the word poor academic judgment in that
sense? You know, when I first read that statement, Tony, poor academic judgment, the first thing I thought was, I said, well, did he cheat? He had to have got caught cheating.
That's what came to my mind.
You know, didn't take a test, had somebody else step in for him doing a test. I know, I mean, it could have happened any kind, I don't know what kind of way, but that was the first thing I thought, and I was like, dang, I mean, really? This is the question I asked myself, really? This is really how you went down? You got caught cheating?
That's what I look at when I see the word poor academic judgment. I don't see it any other kind of, I don't take that any other way because you've seen a lot of players, you know, flunk out and you know it was, you know, either it was on academic probation or, right. You know, and it pretty much at this point, you know, he was on academic probation and we, at that point we had to dismiss him. But I've never seen the word really poor academic judgment. I've not seen that. And I've never seen it. And it baffles me that here we are in 2013 and we're using that word to describe the behavior of the star quarterback. Now, tell me this. If I'm a Notre Dame fan and I know this kid used this type of poor judgment and he is the franchise player, do I continue to trust this kid if we bring him back in 2014?
Well, all you can do is hope and pray that he's learned his lesson. I mean, that's on you whether or not you want to attend Notre Dame football game. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you guys got to hope and wish that, you know, he did what he's supposed to do. I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame, you know, with the way they recruit somebody else in there and he ends up taking over, you know, and the kid might not get a chance. I hope that's not the case, but I wouldn't be surprised with that being Notre Dame and the stature and, you know, what they represent at Notre Dame University.
And I'm telling you, Notre Dame, it surprised me when you think of the great Notre Dame, you think of academic high standards. But at some point, they are hurting. Now, I know Kelly is probably, oh, man, Ryan Kelly's probably wondering what the heck is going on and how do he replace Everett Golston because the quarterbacks that he have on his roster, you know, he had some quarterbacks. He had a quarterback transfer out to Cincinnati. Now, how do he replace Everett Golston now in this day and era, because they had a lot of quarterbacks on the roster at one point. Now they're down to guys that don't have much playing experience and guys that I don't think would lead them where they need to go. But let's get into a little Rob Gronkowski, and then we're going to go to a commercial. We're going to leave you with our soundbite that we opened the show with. But we're going to talk Rob Gronkowski for a brief 45 seconds. Give me your opinion on this Rob Gronkowski's back injury. How much do you really think this is going to play out for the Patriots in 2013, Bibbs?
I think it's going to definitely hurt the Patriots, without a doubt. Back surgery is not a surgery that you just go out and have and you come back 100%. Like, some people are never the same after back surgery, ever. So, and with the arm situation that he has, I Gronk is beat up right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he needs to take off a year and, you know, get his body right and then come back. But that's going to definitely hurt the Patriots, like I said. He's like a big-time weapon for the Patriots, and without him and without the lack of receivers that they have right now.
And you got to figure you trade it off.
A magician, but, you know, we'll have to see what he can do, what he has right now.
You gave up your main weapon for Amendola. You gave up your main weapon, Rex Walter, for Amendola. Now you possibly can lose Gronk. How much pressure does that put on the New England Patriots? But now let's talk about a hottest topic in sports, Julie Herman. We're going to get deeper into that Julie Herman under fire topics and things that she stated about players, things that she stated to players. And the thing that most of all that baffles me in this, how do Rutgers continue to fall in this hole that they're aspiring in? They've been under the fire all this 2013 with the hiring of a coach that they said didn't have a degree and all that goes with the Rutgers program. But before that, we're going to head to a commercial. Play the soundbite, folks. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Listen to the words that are being used and understand, would you want your child to attend Rutgers with this person leading at the helm? Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show as we get deeper into Julie Herman.
Let's go. Julie Herman, hired as the school's new athletic director May 15th, once quit as Tennessee's women's volleyball coach after players complained she ruled through humiliation, fear, and emotional abuse. According to the New York Star-Ledger, a letter submitted by all 15 members of her 1996 team said that Herman called them, quote, whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show and we are talking sports. We're talking about athletic director Julie Herman. That's right. We're going to lead into this topic. We got to get deep into this topic because it is a topic of concern to those that are being recruited by the Rutgers program. Julie Herman is now the athletic director, the head person at Rutgers. Bibbs, and you know she's coming now with a pass that is mind-boggling, that here we are in 2013 and you do not do a thorough background check to see if she is the person that you want leading your program. Now a firestorm is brewing. Do Rutgers remain with Julie Herman, or they decide there's too much firestorm and we decide to go the other way? Because I'm telling you, it's going to hurt them, Bibbs, in recruiting. How do you see this as playing out, Bibbs? How do you think it's going to play out?
Honestly, I don't think she will continue as the athletic director. It's just with the two red flags brought to the attention of the media, and you know everybody getting the opportunity to you know to have their opinion on the situation. And you know, with from what was said, she's done, and with the name calling she did, and the verbal abuse towards her players, and not to mention she's in a lawsuit, a sexual discrimination lawsuit in Louisville right now. Like, I really don't see how she can continue. Now, I'm not opposed to her being changed as a person. She might could have changed over the years, like that was in 1997, and it is 2013. So I can think that she has changed since then, but. With those allegations and, you know, with all the other things going on, I don't really see her continuing as the athletic director at Rutgers.
Now, and I'm going to tell you, Bill, when you talk about institutions like that, you got to understand, people, that background checks are done on candidates. Background checks are done on these candidates. And I'm going to tell you, Rutgers spent a hefty amount on the background check of Julie Herman. They spent exactly $70,000 on the background check that failed to uncover accusations of verbal and emotional abuse for former volleyball players against the state of university and the new athletic director, Julie Herman. Can you imagine you spend $70,000 for a background check?
And it
don't pick up things like this?
Yeah, I'm definitely need a refund, Tony. Like, they need their money back. They wasted their money. Basically,
I'm wondering now, who is that firm? Where's that search team? And I'm going to tell you something. At this point in time, you guys will not get another dime. If not, I'm looking to figure out how I can retrieve the $70,000 that I paid you. And I'm going to make sure at athletic directors' meetings that you possibly do not get another college team to hire your firm. And I think the firm was Parker Executive Search is the firm, I think, that did this search for Rutgers. And you come up with none of this? I mean, I'm baffled, because me as a person, I'm going to be pissed. And as I said, according to the terms of the contract, Parker Executive Search lowered its standard fee of $90,000 to $70,000, including out-of-pocket expenses due to ongoing business with Rutgers. Rutgers was required to pay $35,000 once the contract was started, and another $35,000 in 30 days after the hiring of the successful candidate. So now they're saying they dropped from $90,000 to $70,000 because of the ongoing business that they do for Rutgers. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I would have gave you $90,000 for this, man, and then $70,000 is not a little bit, but if I would have gave you $90,000, I'm surely would have been real upset about this situation. But I'm going to tell you, let's listen to a soundbite. We have a soundbite here. We're going to listen to the soundbite. You know, I looked at this soundbite number five. We're going to listen to the soundbite of some things that are going on with Julie Herman in the light of this hiring, since she's been at the University of Rutgers. So let's listen at this soundbite, and we'll get back in, and we're going to break it down a little bit, and then we're going to let Abby Watkins in her interview speak about how she was affected by Julie Herman. But let's listen to soundbite number five, and let's listen to this.
Rutgers University caught in a scandal when basketball coach Mike Rice was seen on video physically and verbally abusing his players is back under the microscope. Julie Herman, hired as the school's new athletic director May 15th, once quit as Tennessee's women's volleyball coach after players complained she ruled through humiliation, fear, and emotional abuse. According to the New York Star Ledger, a letter submitted by all 15 members of her 1996 team said that Herman called them, quote, whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled, end quote. When asked about the grievances, Herman told the newspaper, quote, I never heard any of this, never name-calling them or anything like that whatsoever. None of this is familiar to me, end quote. Rutgers hired Herman to replace Tim Pernetti, who lost his job in the wake of the Rice scandal. Earlier this month, the school was embarrassed when it hired Eddie Jordan to replace Rice and chose to label him as a Rutgers graduate. Jordan, who played on the school's 1976 Final Four team, does not have a degree from the school. Now, Craig Wolf wrote the story for the Newark Star-Ledger, and he joins us now live on SportsCenter. Craig, was Rutgers aware of the allegations against Herman when they hired her?
No, they weren't. They were aware that there was a lawsuit dating back to the trial was in 1997, but they had no idea that there was a video that apparently supported the lawsuit, and they certainly had, and Julie Herman was not asked about the suit during the interview process. They certainly had no idea, so they say, and I think this is correct, they had no idea about these allegations from these former players of hers. They're...
Now you heard in that soundbite, you heard several things. First, let's get back into the first part. As I said, it spoke about Mike Rice, the men's basketball coach, and his abuse scandal at Rutgers. And wow, you get that. Then you hire a basketball coach that you said was an alum, which technically, the rules, don't even have a degree. And I've thought for years that a person that you're a coach at a higher institution such as that, I thought that for years that you had to have a college degree. I know I heard some people saying, you don't need it. Then those are people coming out of the Rutgers program. But how are you to lead young college athletes and tell them that they got to do the right thing in the classroom, but you're saying on one hand that a person doesn't need a college degree to coach college basketball, and then you hire Julie Herman with her baggage? Now, it's telling me, okay, I'm quite sure I'm looking at now possibly how does this come back and affect the president of the University of Rutgers?
It's definitely going to affect the president. But at the same time, isn't Rutgers moving to a new conference now?
Yeah, do you take a Rutgers?
Like, that's the question I'm having. Like, do you take all of this to start a new life in a new country? I mean, a new conference.
Yeah.
Like, that's a tough way to start, right? You start at the bottom because recruiting is going to be awful. I can guarantee you the recruiting is going to be awful. No child is going to want to come and play at an institution that's dealing with this much drama and negativity. So they're going to do bad. Like I said, recruiting is going to be terrible. They're going to be at the bottom of the barrel of this conference that they're joining. So it's going to suck for Rutgers for a while. And for them, I remember when Rutgers was down a while back, and then they finally worked their way back up to the top and starting football, worked their way back up to respectability. And now they're going to go right back down to the bottom. That sucks for Rutgers, but, I mean, obviously somebody dropped the ball somewhere. They weren't doing that due diligence when it came to hiring the people that need to be hired.
But see, and that's what I'm saying. I'm quite sure that search firm is fired. They're probably blackballed. They'll probably be shutting down pretty soon because I'm quite sure once this word get out that they wasn't able to look deep and uncover verbal and emotional abuse. But I'm going to tell you now, do a person allow their child to go even step foot on a campus like Rutgers? And why I say that is that, okay, you're dealing with a person like Julie Herman. You've already came out of the basketball situation with Mike Rice. You already come out of that situation. Now, here he is, the person that's leading your program, have their problems. And now, if you're a kid in there and all of a sudden there's a coach, whether it be the basketball coach, the football coach, the soccer coach, you felt like you're being verbally abused. How confident are you to go to a person like Julie Herman, who's done this type of abuse, quote unquote, from players? And I know a lot of people are probably saying, why do players wait so late? Because I know, let's get into before we let's say why players wait so late. I don't know. And when you're dealing with college sports, you got to understand, people, that it is a situation to where you speak out too early, you can be blackballed in this society, because college football, college sports is big. It's a big money industry, a big money business, and you can be blackballed if you're not careful. People say, they just a person that they soured, their career didn't go well. And that's why a lot of people do stay quiet, because they fear the backlash that may come, but people saying, they just talking because their career didn't go right, this, that, and the other. But let's listen to what one of the reporters did, and he got a chance to speak with Abby Watkins, who was one of the players that was really affected by this. And this is audio number 11. My engineer is going to play this, and he's going to listen and chime in on this as he speaks of how Abby Watkins felt about Julie Herman.
Certainly has been busy. He is our ESPN College Sports Insider, expert analyst, tons of contacts, and that does include one of these former Tennessee Volunteer volleyball players. Can you walk us through the tenor of your conversation? How did Abby sound when she relayed some of these stories, some of these details to you?
Well, it was a correspondence, so it wasn't speaking on the phone, but her tone, certainly, if you can read tone into the correspondence, was someone that was deeply hurt by what occurred in the mid-90s at Tennessee. She made it clear that she was the person in that room that was feeling victimized by what she was calling basically essentially verbal abuse by Julie Herman at the time. In fact, she said that she made her hate the game that she loved.
And as you heard that, she made this young lady hate the game that she loved. When someone takes you, and people, you got to understand, I play this game. When someone takes something from you that you truly, truly love, they take your soul from you. They take your complete soul out of you. And this is what, I mean, when you calling people names such as what, this allegedly what Julie Herman spoke about. And one of the college coaches that she coached with, now I'm going to tell you, is saying that this stuff did not take place, that it did not take place. She was in the huddles when all this went on, and she's saying that it did not take place. But when you're having, now Bibbs, tell me this, when you have so many players come out and saying the same thing, do you really believe this coach when they said that this stuff did not happen?
Nah. I mean, I don't think 16 would sit down and write the same exact story unless I just don't see it. So, I don't believe them when they say that that stuff was not fair. I definitely believe that the team went through this verbal abuse, and they had every right to come out and say what they said, but yeah, when you ask about belief, I don't believe coaches at all. I definitely think that they said it.
And that's what, now this coach, that the assistant coach that stated that this stuff never took place is right now coaching youth sports. This young lady is coaching youth sports in this day and age. And I know now that this is coming out, some parents, I'm quite sure, are looking at her and saying, it's tough for you to tell me that something didn't take place. With all this going on in this day and age, it's going to be tough for you to tell me that something did not take place. I find that mind-boggling. I'm going to tell you, Bibbs, to wrap up all this, do you, as a parent, whether it be volleyball, soccer, track, whatever it is in the sports world, do you send your child to the University of Rutgers on a visit?
At this moment, no. Definitely not. Now, maybe if it was the last resort, you know, or they, my child just had, you know, really want to play for the University of Rutgers, which I hope not. But, no, I definitely wouldn't send him to Rutgers right now. I don't think I would even visit. Nah, not at all.
And that's what I'm saying. Not at all for my sake. Not now. Probably not ever, because it's, you know, you're only there for 4 or 5 years and so you're out of there. And I think right now Rutgers got to clean house and understand that this type of behavior is not allowed in this day and age of college sports. You're seeing it happen so prevalent. As a matter of fact, I was looking at Outside the Lines earlier this week, and I saw where the Sandusky case possibly brought to light a case with a coach that was at one of the college teams where he supposedly, you know, his kids were coming out of the shower and they was dancing, and he took some pictures on his phone, but he took his phone in to have it looked at, and all of a sudden the technician that was looking at it took the phone to the AD, and they put this guy on suspension, and all of a sudden now the state attorney's office took it over and they wanted to file charges of abuse against this young man. But then come later, the judge said she didn't see that, and Child Protective Services say they didn't see it in that manner. They saw a guy taking pictures of his kids enjoying the freedom within the confines of good parenting, and that's what they stated. So I'm going to tell you guys, we brought a show to you today that talked about abuse, verbally or emotionally at least to verbal abuse, and it all ties in. Sometimes it's worse to verbally and emotionally abuse one than it is to physically abuse one. If you're a person that has been abused, you open up and you talk. If you're a person that's not been abused and you know someone that has, you help that person out. Because in this day and age of life, it is all our responsibility to make sure that we look after each other, and this type of behavior does not take place. So I'm signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Bibbs, we had a great show for you here today. Stay tuned with us each and every Wednesday here on bbsradio.com/the Tony Sands Show. But until I talk with you next week, stay tuned for the hottest sports topic. And my main man, Bibbs, is signing off. We're both signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. Until next week, stay tuned for more hot topics on the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.